And now, another timely and powerful message from Pastor Emmanuel Williams and Imitators of God Ministries, Colossal Vivacious Church in Tallahassee.
But we just want to thank God. We just want to give Him praise. Father, we thank You for the night. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your strength. We thank You, God, for resting upon Him, Pastor Emmanuel, even as he's about to expound on His word. We thank You, God, for there will be clarity in the name of Jesus Christ. There'll be no interruption on the airways. We take authority over the airways in the name of Jesus. We thank You, Lord, for what You're going to do through Him. We thank You for spirit of wisdom. We thank You for knowledge, even right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, may You rest upon His mind and shift the service the way You want to see, You want to shift in the name of Jesus. We just want to give You all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tonight I want to look at two verses from Revelation chapter 21. If you would go to verse 15 and 16, that's what I intend to cover this evening. And we'll do a brief review from the last time we spoke on Revelation chapter 21. I think verses 9 to 14. I think we said the topic was a perfect society. Amen. But let's read the text we intend to cover this evening. Revelation chapter 21 verse 15 reads, "And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof." Can you go to verse 16? Verse 16 reads, "And the city lieth foursquare." This is after the city was measured. This is John speaking. John is saying, after the city was measured by the angel, the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs was the measurement, and the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. So the length of the city, the height of the city, and the breadth of the city, it is the same length. Can everybody say amen? Amen. Before I get into this particular verses, I do want to do a brief review from last week, because from the last time we spoke on Revelation chapter 21, because what we did the last time we spoke, if you can recall, John is taken into the wilderness, into a particular place, and he's given a view of the New Jerusalem descending. And at first, he gave us a description of the external view of the New Jerusalem. That's what he's seen descending. If you can recall, John said that he gave a description of the city as it came down. He said it was full of the glory of God. Amen. Then he said, he began to zoom in on the walls. And he said the walls, they were made of precious stones. You remembered. And on the walls, every wall, there were three gates on every wall. If you can recall, and we also said that he also said that the names of the apostles, it's a 12-layered foundation, were on each of the foundation, and the name of the 12 tribes of Israel on every gate, each side of the wall, amen, had 12 gates. So we said we saw what God is doing. He's bringing, amen, the Old Testament saints and the Old Testament believers and the New Testament believers together in that particular city. No believer will be left out. Only Christians in that city. Remembered? Amen. One thing we said about the city which really blessed me was that the city will be a perfect society. Amen. God is there. We looked at the number of times the number 12 was mentioned in that city. 12 gates, named after the 12 Israel, after the 12 tribes of Israel. 12 angels, you remember we said that? And the number of 12 in the Bible, we said, has a great significance. The number of 12 means perfection, governmental perfection. That is why it's all over Revelation chapter 21 and 22. Amen. So the city has a perfect government, perfect order, perfect peace, perfect unity. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. Simply put, we said that it was a perfect society. Amen. It is somewhere everybody would want to live. But only those, fortunately, who have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, we are the ones who are going to live in that city. Amen. Glory be to Jesus. So what I want to do now is I want to get back to our text. get back to our text we just read. As I said, John describes the external structure. Now he moves in. And he says in verse 15, he said, and he, John is saying, and he is referring to the angel from verse 12. You remembered? Verse 9. Can you jump over to verse 9? Let's see exactly who John is referring to when he said he. Verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. So that he is that angel John is talking about. Are you with me? The angel here is that same angel. So let's go back to our text, verse 15. So John said, and he, that particular angel mentioned in verse 9, talked with me. And while he was speaking, John said, I noticed he had something in his hands. He had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the walls thereof. Praise the Lord. Let me ask you, I don't know, when I began going over the book of Revelation, I was always concerned that there was not enough space in the New Jerusalem for everybody. I'm not sure, I was always worried about that. And I said, well, maybe there might not be a lot of people, but brothers and sisters, as you go through the Bible, you're going to realize there's going to be a lot of people, billions of people living in the New Jerusalem. Amen? And so as we go through these verses, that will become very evident to us. All right? God has more than enough room. Amen? I'll show you in a while. Well, hopefully, if we have time, that there'll be more than enough space for every one of us. You will have more space in the New Jerusalem than you have on this earth. On this earth, we only have maybe quarter acre, half an acre. But in the New Jerusalem, I'll show you as we go forward, everyone will have close to 50 acres minimum from the Bible. Amen. Estimates, though. Can you say estimates? Estimates. Amen. You know, God is good. He gives us the liberty to do that. Once we do not say it is scripture, amen, it is okay to give estimates. Praise the Lord. So John said, John communicates that he noticed the angel had a golden reed to measure. I'm going to take my time to discuss this, because I've had people ask, what is a reed? I know many of you know, but I'm a teacher by nature, so I'm going to break it down. Is that okay? All right, so he said he had a golden reed to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. What is a reed, though? Okay, according to the Complete Biblical Library Greek English Dictionary, a reed refers to the thin stem from a tree grown in water, but it is used extensively for many ordinary purposes. In classical Greek, the reed is used as a straw, hay, a flute, a fishing rod, a pen, a measuring rod, a tube for physicians, or a stake for vines. Amen. So that is what. However, in context here, it seems best to define it as a measuring rod. Amen. During the Old Testament times, the reed was about 10 feet long, which was a standard for measure. John said, I saw he had a reed in his hands. But the reed, notice the reed is a golden reed. The reed is made of heaven's dirt. The reed is made of what? Heaven's dirt. The Bible says the streets of heaven are paved with. And the reed was made of what? Amen. So, glory be to Jesus. So he said, I saw him with a reed. I have an exhibit. I have an exhibit of what a reed looks like in the angel's hand. I was tempted not to take this particular exhibit, but I think it's you'll get the picture. So here it is. This is the angel. He has John, and he has the reed in his hands. And no, this is not a walking stick. It's a reed. Amen. The angel didn't say, well, John, I traveled so many realms. No, and I'm so tired. No, this is not a walking stick. This is a reed. Amen. He's about business. And the Bible says he's going to measure the city. Amen. Now, the New Testament usage of the reed is in a reference. I'm going to show you three areas in the New Testament the word reed is used, so you'll understand. In the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 27, verse 29. Can you go to Matthew 27, 29? Let us see how the reed is used here. Because it's both in the Old and New Testament. Matthew 27, 29, it reads, and they had planted, and when they had, these are the soldiers who crucified Jesus. When they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed, in what? In his right hand, and they bowed. So they gave him the reed as a scepter, a mocked scepter. They were mocking him, and they said, every king has a scepter. Your scepter is a piece of stick, a dry piece of stick. So that's one usage of the reed. Let's go to verse 30, just the next verse next door. Let's see another usage of the word reed. And they spit on him and took the reed that one was in his hand. And what did they did? They smote him on the head. Let's go to Mark chapter 15, verse 36. So we said a reed is also a piece of stick. Amen. Mark 15, 36. You got it? And one ran, that's one of the soldiers again, while he was on the cross, and one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a what? On a piece of stick. And gave him to drink, saying, let alone. So I just showed you three ways in the New Testament so you can have a frame of reference as to what a reed is. Amen. It's simply a measuring rod. In the case we have here in our text, John says it is a golden rod because everything in his heaven is precious. Everything is made of precious stones, expensive stuff. Can you say amen? Amen. All right. Now I was studying this, and what's of great importance though is that the word measuring also means marking something like it's yours, your property. The measuring, the marking out of this city is reminiscent of the measuring of the millennial temple. You don't have to go there. But in Ezekiel chapter 40, verse 3, the millennial temple was measured out also by an angel. And also in the tribulation temple in Revelation chapter 11, verse 1, you can read it. So the first reference is Ezekiel 40, verse 13. You can visit it. And Revelation 11, verse 1. These are reminiscent. What the angel is doing here, amen, it is similar to what is recorded in Ezekiel chapter 40, verse 3, and Revelation 11, verse 1. Just for your information so you can do some studies, amen. Now, the significance of all of these markings in Ezekiel, in Revelation 11, and here in Revelation 21 is that the property, all the property belongs to God. Look, you don't mark or survey what's not yours. Amen? So it's telling us that it is God's property. And because it's his property, he has a right to survey it out and mark it out. Amen? How many are thankful that's not the devil's property? That's God's property because we'll be in there. Amen? Oh, blessed be the name of Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Even, I have gotten a few questions. Not doubting, but just from doing this series, some people still are still wondering, you know, is all of that true? You know, is the New Jerusalem, is it going to come down? Is it really something, when Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, Pastor, is that what he's talking about? Because you and I will agree that it's not been taught as often as it should. And so you have that plus other religious sects, S-E-C-T-S, amen, sects are saying, well, we're going to be here inhabiting the earth. And so I will tell you this, throughout the entire Bible, the New Jerusalem is referenced. When the privilege of fellowshipping with God was taken from us in Genesis, God got obsessed with one thing in mind, and that is to restore that relationship. And as you go through the Bible, you will see glimpses of our eternal home. I'm going to show you a few of them in a while. Of our internal home. And so I'm saying that because to calm any fears as to whether or not that's going to happen, this has always been God's plan, and God is going to ensure it happens. God's plan has always been to live with his people. The Bible tells us in Genesis that he descended and he spoke with Adam in the cool of the evening. God is still missing that aspect of fellowship. And hear me, brothers and sisters, he's determined to restore that fellowship. Isaiah chapter 46 verse 10 says, God says, my counsel will stand and I will have all my pleasure. God said, the devil think he thought he intercepted my agenda. He thought he overthrew my agenda, but I'm going to do it twice. I'm going to live with my people for 1,000 years on this earth, and then I'm going to get rid of this earth and introduce a new heaven and a new earth. And then I'm going to bring down the new Jerusalem for real. Because the Jerusalem that's on earth is just, glory be to God, what should I say? I don't want to say it's a picture. It's not a picture, but, amen, it is telling us that there is something better to come. Amen? So I just want to calm a lot of questions people are asking as to whether or not this is really true. I will tell you, fundamentally so, it is true. Praise God. It is so true. Can you go to Galatians chapter 4 verse 6? Galatians chapter 4 verse 6. In Galatians chapter 4 verse 6, Paul is simply talking about, in the entire chapter, Galatians chapter 4. I'm so sorry about that. Galatians 4 26. My apologies. Verse 26. In that verse, Paul is simply saying that even if you're a Christian, if you are an immature child, amen, even if your father is rich and you're a child, you're still under the law until you are grown and you become free. How many of you would agree that what's your child, what's yours is belongs to your children? But you're going to give it to them when they're babes. So they're still under law. Your law. Amen? Your direction until they become adults. So that's what the text is talking. And you know what? Listen to what Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, verse 26. He said, but Jerusalem, which is where? Where is it? Wow. But Jerusalem, which is above, is what? Free, which is the mother of what? Us all. And what he's saying, this is amazing. He's saying that Hagar, and the difference, he's saying here that Hagar, Abraham had two sons, one with Hagar, one with Sarah. Thank you. Sarah, Jacob, Hagar, Ishmael. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so he's saying the new Jerusalem, the old Jerusalem, which is a kind of Hagar. He said it's not free. They're still under law. And he's referring to the Orthodox Jews, which hasn't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. These are the Orthodox Jews and they are Messianic Jews. And so he's saying these Orthodox Jews, they are of the earthly Jerusalem. But the Messianic Jews, which are us, can you say us? We belong to the Jerusalem where? Above. And in that, he said, you'll experience a level of freedom that's unprecedented. What a blessing. But that hasn't come down. The new Jerusalem has not descended. And that is why it's good. It is good to be, I'm trying to use a word here, to be spiritually sensitive. So we'll understand the difference between these two Jerusalems. You know, it's difficult to be carnally minded and try to understand spiritual things. Amen? So that is why we have to understand all these, what we're talking about, they exist, but in a different realm. And the only way we can tap into that is we have to become more spiritually sensitive. Amen? So the New Jerusalem again is for real. Let me get into some more specifics. In the verse 16 says, as a result, we've looked at verse 15. We did, no? Verse 15. We're on verse. Thank you. And the city lieth 4 square. Can you go back to verse 15? Let me see if I dealt with it in its entirety. I did. Yeah. So yeah, golden, wonderful. All right. Verse 16. Thank you so much. I just thought there was more. Verse 16 reads, he continues. He said here, the results of the angel measuring revealed this right here. So after the angel measured the city, it revealed that the city is laid out as a, right here he said it, the city lieth 4 square. That's what he said. He said, we found out that after the angel measured the city, it was not a rectangular. Amen. It was not, how do you call it, it was not a pentagon. It was not a rectangular. It was a cube. Amen. For what? 4 square. Okay, not only that, but he said that, can you read 4 square? And the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a what? And what did he find out? The city is what? 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height equal. Amen. So the length of the city, the height of the city, the width of the city is the same length. Okay. Now, what does it mean when he said in the Bible is that the city laid as a square, or the city is laid out in a square? The New Jerusalem length, height, and width are equal. And this means it is either a cube or a pyramid. Now, I want you to keep that in mind. The tabernacle was not a square. The tabernacle in the wilderness was not a square. Solomon's temple also was not a square. However, inside both of them were the Holy of Holies, which is a perfect square. You remembered, there was the Holy of Holies. There was the holy place. The holy place was divided, amen, into two by a curtain which separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place. There was only one piece of furniture in the Holy of Holies, and that was what? The Ark of the Covenant. And the priest went in there once a year, and he has to be careful how he goes in there. He has to go in there after having done all the rituals, or else as soon as he goes in there, he would be dead on arrival. And that's why he needed to have bells at the bottom of his robe so they can hear him moving. If he's not moving, there was a rope tied to his waist, and he would be what? Yes, sir. He would be pulled out. Amen? Once a year. Now that place, the curtain that divided the holy place in two, that curtain where the Ark of the Covenant was, this is the Holy of Holies. And when I'm trying to, this is my aim tonight. I want to tie the scriptures together. Amen. I want you to see the mind of God. What God has always been after us, to fellowship with us. You get what I'm saying? Because this is I feel so good now talking about it. It tells us, in other words, if you ever doubt whether you're important, not after tonight. Because the length God took, the length he went to ensure that we come together and fellowship with him is just amazing. The things I'm going to show you in a while, what God did. So the Bible tells us here, amen, both inside the tabernacle in the wilderness and in Solomon's temple, there was a particular area called the Holy of Holies. Amen. It's a cube, a perfect square. the glory of God was always in the Holy of Holies. The what? The glory of God. The Lord Jesus is showing us, giving us glimpses of the new Jerusalem in Solomon's temple and in the tabernacle in the wilderness. That's what God is doing. He's giving us glimpses. He's saying, here, it is my desire, it is to fellowship with you. Yes, it did not work out in Eden, but the time is coming when it's going to happen. Do not forget it. Keep it at the top of your mind. Throughout scripture, Jesus is doing that. Amen. So the entire Bible is pointing us to the pattern of the new Jerusalem and the of the new Jerusalem that will last forever. Where the pattern is in the tabernacle and in Solomon's temple. The innermost chamber of the holy place is called what? We said it's called what? The Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies. And you and I know that's where the Shekinah glory of God dwelt. Give me, I have two exhibits, exhibits 2 and 3. Let me show you exactly. And I'm going to make an association. Amen. We know the Shekinah glory was, it was visible right here. Right here in the tent when they camp. It is exactly over the perfect square, that box. Let's see the other one, please. There you go. Show me your glory. I just stood out. This looks so wonderful. Amen. So this is, can you see the glory of God? Can you see the glory of God? Right above that cube. Right above that what? That perfect square. Now keep that in mind. That is what John just told us he saw. John just told us he saw the city of God descending, covered with what? The glory of God. That's what John said. Can you go to Revelation chapter 21, verse 10? Verse 10. That's exactly what John said. We saw glimpses in the Old Testament of what's going to come in verse 9 and 10. We saw glimpses in the tabernacle. We saw glimpses in Solomon's temple. Now, this is what God has been pointing to. John said, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending from God. Verse 10, verse 11 says what? Messiah was coming down. Having what? The glory of God. We just saw that in the Old Testament. All that was pointing to what John is seeing right now. Telling us glimpses of this right here. Oh, what a blessing. John is telling us, hey, what I saw, or we can say what John is telling us here, we saw in the Old Testament. Amen. And it's God pointing to us and telling us, hey, this is my desire. That has always been my heart's desire, to bring my people together. So I can be with them. Amen. Oh, glory be to Jesus. I have one more exhibit. Can you go to exhibit 4, please? Exhibit 4. So this is what John, thank you so much. This is what John saw. This city is full of the glory of God. But this right here, glimpses of this was given to us in the tabernacle. In Solomon's temple, when the glory Shekinah came down on the cube. Are you with me? On the square. This is what all of that is pointing to. One day, this is going to happen. Because John said, God, the tabernacle of God is with men. God will be with them. They will be his people and they will worship him. That's what God did in the Old Testament. God came down, Holy of Holies. The high priest came. He got instructions for his people. He covered the people. Are you with me, saints? Oh, glory be to God. I saw this and I was so blessed. I was so excited when I saw this. I said, God, you've always been after us, wanting to fellowship with us. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Wanting to restore the relationship that was lost in the Garden of Eden. Because why? The New Jerusalem is our final home. And all these other places are temporary housing for the Shekinah of glory of God. Brothers and sisters, one day we are going to live with God. And experience the Shekinah glory of God. Oh, what a blessing, what a blessing. The entire Bible is pointing to that pattern. The entire Bible. God is obsessed with living together with us. Amen. He loved fellowshipping with us. And one day it's going to happen. Let's go to Revelation chapter. Let's go to verse 3. Let me back up to verse 3 quickly. Verse 3. He said, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold," what word is used there? The tabernacle. He didn't say, oh, I love this right here. The way scripture comes together and it warms my heart. John said, behold, a voice came and said, behold, the tabernacle of what? Oh, is with what? Human beings. And he will what? That has always been his desire. And they shall be what? Be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be there. That has always been God's desire. Always been God's desire. Can somebody say he's a good God? He's a good God. And hear me, since nobody can stop him. Nobody. I was driving here today. I went to the house, picked up some lunch, was coming back. And I kept saying, so Lord, that delay, that extended delay before your second return is really to get heaven crowded. That's all it's about, to get heaven crowded. Here God is thinking, hey, my people are going to become more like Jesus, because the more you get like Jesus is the more effective you will be. Amen. God is hoping that we become more like Jesus and you'll be effective in every area. Bless God. Even in witnessing, so we can get heaven crowded. That is what the delay is about. God doesn't want an empty heaven. God wants heaven crowded. And so brothers and sisters, you and I need to get busy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The second part of verse 16. I just saw the time. My God, 25 minutes just went like that. 35 minutes. The second part of verse 16 says, and he measured the city with a what? A reed. How big was the city? 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are what? Equal. John says the city measures 12,000 furlongs long. High? 12,000 furlongs high, long, high, and in its width. Sorry, its breadth. The word furlongs, I'm not sure if I place this as an exhibit, but the word furlongs, amen, is a Greek word for stadia, S-T-A-D-I-A. Do I have an exhibit on that? I think. Yeah, the word furlong the Greek word for furlong is a stadia. Okay, wonderful. Oh, one stadia. There we go. The Greek word for furlong is stadia. 12,000 stadia. One stadia is called a stadion. S-T-A-D-I-O-N. Plural is stadia. So that's why I said it's 12,000 furlongs. Now, a stadion or stadia was a certain measure of distance. By implication, a stadium or a race course. Amen? Now, what English word you think comes from the word stadia? Stadium, good. Amen? The stadia or stadium of the Greeks were not just used for games. Hear me? They were used for worshiping their gods. And so that's why John uses furlongs instead of stadia. Alright? He used furlongs. That's why the Holy Ghost, let me put it that way. Amen? Because the stadium wasn't only for games. They did a lot of stuff in that stadium. Now, I do have an exit. I'll get back to that text. Can you give me the exhibit that shows an ancient stadium that was in Greece and Athens? No, the one before that. This is an ancient stadium. Amen? Do you think it looks similar to our stadiums today? Chip, this is an ancient stadium. Let us look at an example of our stadiums today. The next exhibit. Yeah, almost the same, right? Anybody see any resemblance? Amen. So we haven't gone that far. Amen. So John says the city is what? 12,000 furlongs or 12,000 stadia. Now, I want to convert furlongs or stadia into feet, so you and I will have an idea as to how long, tall, or wide this building is. So I'm going to convert furlongs or stadia into feet. Is that okay? And then into miles, because we need to find out. Amen? So exhibit 7, the one you showed the first time. Let's get to the exhibit. Okay, one stadion is about 607 feet. One stadion. So if one stadion is 607 feet, to convert 12,000 stadia, amen, to feet, we have to multiply 12,000 by 607. And the total is how many feet? 7,284,000 feet. Now we need to convert this feet into miles. 1 mile is 5,280 feet. So to find out how long and how tall and how wide the city is, we have to divide 7,284,000 by 580. That equals approximately 1,380 miles long, 1,380 miles wide, and hear me, 1,380 miles tall. I did not say inches, I'm using miles. Okay? I didn't say inches, I'm using miles. I'm trying to tell you how tall this city is. Amen? Tall this city is. Now, most commentators seem to think it's anywhere between 1380 to 1500. So that's why you'll hear 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles tall, 1,500 miles wide, because they just round it up. Amen? But brothers and sisters, this is no small city. Amen? This city is huge. Amen? I have an exhibit. Let me show you potentially how huge this city is. This city will stretch potentially, watch right here, from Maine to Florida. Gainesville, Jacksonville is about 1,445 miles. 1,445 miles. That is how long this city potentially is going to be. Now, what I'm going to do next week, I see the time. Next week, I'm going to look at the tallest building, which is about, I think, 2,200 feet. I didn't say miles. I said feet. And I'm going to show you how many times you have to stack the tallest building upon itself. So you know how high, potentially, this city of ours is going to be. I'm saying all this to show this is not a small city. It is not what you and I think. Think about that. 1,400 miles long. 1,400 miles wide. 1,400 miles tall. I tell you, God has prepared something magnificent for us. That's why the Bible says, I have not seen, nor ear heard. Amen? The wonderful things God has prepared for us. Can somebody give him praise? What a blessing. What a blessing. God has you and I on mind, and he's prepared a wonderful city for us, brothers and sisters. As I said, the delay that his delay is so you and I can get heaven crowded. Let us ask God to send the right people our path. Amen. There are people out there who need the Lord. People need the Lord. Amen. Need the Lord. There are right people out there. My prayer is that the people who have been watered and planted, amen, and ripe for the picking, that God send them our ways. You know, there are people out there who have been harassed by the devil, and all they need to hear is a word from the Lord.
Please take time to meditate on the Word and let it sink into your heart and soul and mind today, knowing that the Christian who meditates on the Word will be like a tree planted by the water, bringing forth fruit in its season and prospering in all that he does. But what if you aren't a Christian today? What if you don't know if you're bound for heaven as a forgiven child of God? If that's you, then let's take care of it right now if you're ready. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Are you ready to be forgiven of your sins and washed clean and made new? Are you ready to begin your new life in Christ? Then turn to God right now and say, Lord, I love you. I need you. I repent of my sins. Lord, please forgive me and wash me clean. I receive your forgiveness right now as I put my faith in Jesus as my Savior. God, please lead me and teach me and show me how to live from now on. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And if you're looking for a good church family, you'll be welcomed with open arms at Imitators of God Ministries, Colossal Vivacious Church in Tallahassee, located at 4750 Capitol Circle Southeast near Tram Road. Sunday school begins for all ages at 10 a.m. and the morning service begins at 11. And the Wednesday evening service begins at 7. This is a life-giving, multicultural, multi-generational church where people of all races, backgrounds, and walks of life come together to worship, to be inspired in their love for God, to develop relationships, and to be empowered to live out God's purpose for their lives. Find more information on their website, imitatorsofgodministries.com, or call the church 850-408-8496.